The U.S. Navy gets this party started. The 9th Annual Team America Rocketry Challenge is on. And airman enforcement actions will now live as long as you do. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plank. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Wednesday, February 16th, 2010. NAS North Island in San Diego, California, has its Centennial of Naval Aviation Celebration officially underway. Thousands of visitors attended a special open house and parade of flight on Saturday. It's not the only naval air station with plans to commemorate the anniversary, but North Island claims the title of Birthplace of Naval Aviation. The first successful hydro-aeroplane flight took place at the base in 1911, just 8 years after Orville and Wilbur flew at Kitty Hawk. The Blue Angels led Saturday's parade of flight, which included aircraft ranging from World War II to present-day fighter, attack, and transport aircraft. The U.S. Navy Leapfrogs parachute team also performed. More than 600 teams from 48 states and the District of Columbia are preparing hand-designed model rockets to qualify for the 9th Annual Team America Rocketry Challenge, May 14th. This year's roster includes many returning teams, but also 161 teams that are joining for the first time. The contest is sponsored by the Aerospace Industries Association and the National Association of Rocketry, in collaboration with the Defense Department, NASA, the American Association of Physics Teachers, Estes, the model rocket company, and more than 30 other industry partners. Each 3 to 10-person team is challenged to design and build a rocket that will rise to an altitude of 750 feet during a 40 to 45-second flight carrying a raw egg, which must return to the ground undamaged. Teams have until April 4th for their qualifying flights, with representatives of the National Association of Rocketry judging each entry. The challenge culminates May 14th when the 100 teams with the best qualifying scores compete at the finals at Great Meadow in the Plains, Virginia, near Washington, D.C. The U.S. National Transportation Safety Board is calling on the FAA to mandate that Boeing redesign the elevator system on certain 737s to protect the power control unit from foreign object debris and to ensure that a single-point jam will not restrict the movement of the elevator control system and prevent continued safe flight and landing. The recommendation covers Boeing 737-300s through 500s. Get more detail in the text version of this story, dated February 15th, at aero-news.net. In continuing fallout from the Continental Colgan 3407 case, Congress has passed a mandate to the FAA regarding the database of airmen certificates. The new language, approved in August, requires that information in the database, including summaries of legal actions and enforcements, be maintained until the FAA is notified that the airman is deceased. The FAA has been expunging identities from such data after 5 years, but the entire system came under scrutiny when it was learned that Marvin Renslow, the captain of the Continental Connections flight that crashed in Buffalo in 2009, had performance anomalies on his record which were not able to be discovered before he was hired at Colgan. This may be aimed at the airlines, but aviation attorney Dennis Haber tells ANN it will affect all enforcement records for all airmen. Up next on ANN, the first 747-8 is painted in prosperous colors. Pelton and Boister are both cautiously optimistic. And Pipistrel begins deliveries of the electric Taurus G2. You're listening to Aero News.
Now, another moment of freedom from Cirrus Aircraft. Freedom through safety. Perhaps the ultimate freedom is confidence, assurance, and peace of mind. We design it into every personal aircraft we build. It's the security that comes with knowing you're flying the plane with a parachute. The breakthrough concept that launched the Cirrus phenomenon.
Piperjet.
Pipermatch.
Global expansion.
Meridian, Mirage, Matrix, and more.
With so much happening at Piper, how can I possibly keep up?
Get informed. Get involved at facebook.com/Piper Aircraft.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for February 16th. I'm Paul Plank. At Boeing's unveiling of its new 747-8 Intercontinental on Sunday, about 10,000 guests and employees gathered in Everett, Washington, to witness a premiere themed Incredible Again. CEO Jim Albaugh said the newest 747 incorporates technological advancements that make it an extremely productive airplane for customers, including innovative technologies developed for the 787 Dreamliner. Quote, "We think our customers will value the low operating costs and passengers will enjoy the comfort of the striking new interior," unquote. Lufthansa is the launch customer and is expecting first deliveries sometime next year. A total of 33 747-8 Intercontinentals have been ordered. The plane unveiled Sunday is painted in a new sunrise livery of red-orange that the company says honors many key Boeing customers whose cultures recognize these colors as symbols of prosperity and good luck. Three aviation companies in hard-hit Wichita, Kansas, are expressing optimism about the rest of 2011. Spirit AeroSystems credits work from companies like Boeing for keeping it afloat during the recession. Not only has Spirit not laid off workers during the downturn, it actually hired some in 2010. But Cessna laid off more than half its workforce, and there were similar deep cuts at Hawker Beechcraft. Cessna's Jack Pelton tells KWCH-TV he is seeing a positive trend in the economy and that Cessna set records for orders at the end of last year. HBC's Bill Boyster also thinks things are on a slow upward trend. He said his company is now firmly committed to Wichita, and Spirit AeroSystems Chief Operating Officer Buck Buchanan told the station that all three companies expect growth in the next 2 to 4 years in their product lines. The acquisition by three Indian companies of a total of 5 new AS-350B3 helicopters was announced late last week by Eurocopter and its Eurocopter India subsidiary at the Aero India 2011 exhibition in Bangalore. Three were ordered by Global Vectra, whose fleet will grow to 7 AS-350B3s, while Summit Aviation and SS Aviation each purchased one. All 5 machines are scheduled for delivery before the end of this year. The second generation of the electric-powered 2-seat self-launching glider Taurus Electro is now in serial production and available to customers worldwide. Pipistrel, the manufacturer, announced in a news release this week that more than 20 owners will receive their aircraft by the end of 2011. Pipistrel notes that because this is a glider, it's more useful than some other electric aircraft prototypes because battery capacity does not limit endurance. Find a little lift and you could fly for hours without aircraft power. Peak takeoff power is 40 kilowatts, or about 53 horsepower. Max continuous climb power is 30 kilowatts, or about 40 horsepower. The system uses a specially developed power inverter and controller said to produce a true throttle-by-wire experience. The lithium batteries are available in 2 configurations, capable of launching the plane to either 4,000 or 6,500 feet. Pipistrel's proprietary battery management system includes data logging and battery health forecasting. Pipistrel says the Taurus Electro G2 qualifies as a microlight in the EU. The G2 will make its first public appearance at Friedrichshafen, and the power plant will be available to third parties as well. Still ahead, airline hub airports say the Obama budget will be bad news. U.S. Homeland Security's budget continues to grow. And there are times when pre-recorded is better. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond's DA-42 Twin Star is General Aviation's ultimate flying machine. Fly fast with the confidence of a twin for the cost of a single. Go direct over water or rugged terrain and cover great distances in the first and only piston aircraft with an advanced airframe, avionics, and engines. The DA-42 gives you options you've never had before, including the Garmin G1000 and known ice protection. Go where you want, when you want, fast and for less. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Wednesday, February 16th. I'm Paul Black. As the various special interests get a look at President Obama's proposed federal budget for fiscal 2012, they're starting to find various things they don't like about it that haven't hit the general media yet. Greg Principato, president of Airports Council International North America, has a problem with the plan to cut airport improvement grants to $2.4 billion, down $1.1 billion from current levels. The administration proposes to make those cuts at large and medium hub airports, making up the difference with an increase in the ceiling on what those airports can charge in passenger facilities fees. Principato notes, quote, "Because we know that Congress will not include this provision in the FAA bill, despite the fact that it would allow local communities to create local jobs, building local projects with local resources, So we may get the AIP cut without the additional local freedom of the PFC user fee, unquote. With breathtaking federal budget deficits continuing in the Obama administration's proposed 2012 budget, there is lots of talk of cuts in Washington, but your season tickets to Security Theater will cost more. The administration admits to an increase of $309 million in the Department of Homeland Security's budget for the coming year as compared to what was approved in 2010. But writing in Government Security News, Jacob Goodwin notes that through some budgetary chicanery, the actual increase will be about $3.3 billion, or 8.4%. In her comments on what is officially labeled as a $57 billion budget, Homeland Security Secretary Janet Napolitano boasted Monday of an unprecedented commitment to fiscal discipline, including the identification of over $800 million in efficiency and administrative savings. The Commercial Spaceflight Federation said Monday it welcomes the strong support for commercial spaceflight in the new NASA fiscal 2012 budget. Federation President Breton Alexander commented, quote, "In this constrained fiscal environment, commercial spaceflight is more important than ever. NASA's commercial crew program will result in significant savings to the U.S. taxpayer and will cut the amount of money the nation has been sending to Russia every year. Leveraging private investment is the only way NASA can make its dollars go farther in these times of belt tightening," unquote. And finally, no matter how much talk there is of a renewed sense of fiscal responsibility in Washington, D.C., I'm pretty confident we won't run out of silly expenditures to provide darkly humorous kicker stories. Take the Super Bowl, for example. Immediately following Christina Aguilera's struggle to recall the words of the Star-Spangled Banner, the anthem concluded with a traditional military fighter overflight. In this case, it was four U.S. Navy F-A-18s. The cost was either $450,000 total or $109,000 in fuel, depending on whether you believe the London Daily Mail or Navy recruiters. But the game was being played in Cowboys Stadium in Dallas, with a retractable roof closed because of weather, so the crowd saw the aircraft only on the scoreboard's big screen. Which begs the question, couldn't the U.S. Navy have achieved the same effect with a pre-recorded video and soundtrack for a lot less than $109,000? For that matter, wouldn't Christina be a lot happier with herself right now if she'd lip-synced the national anthem? That's the latest from Arrow News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, the second and concluding part of my conversation with Rich Hansen about the threat to RC modeling posed by proposed regulations on commercial UAVs. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our Arrowcasts at iPodder, Podcast Alley, or at arrow-news.net. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.